Good afternoon, good evening, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to another special edition of Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. It's the seventh round. The Packers had wrapped up their selections with a tackle, Andrew Datko of Florida State, and a quarterback, B.J. Coleman of Tennessee Chattanooga. And joining us right now to analyze the final Packers selection, we have Andrew Garda of Bleacher Report live at Radio City Music Hall. Andrew, how are you doing? Hello, Andrew, are you
there?
Hey,
Brian. I thought I lost you there for a second. Live radio, folks. I'm doing great. It's been a crazy weekend. I really am glad the NFC North cannot trade any more picks because they've been keeping me hopping all weekend.
So just your impressions in general after 3 days, how's it been? And obviously a lot of trades, so how you holding up?
I'm hanging in there. A lot of caffeine, and they actually had food for the media on day three for the first time since I've been doing that. So I'm excited. It was crazy. Really, all of the trades started because Cleveland decided they were going to hop up one spot and get Trent Richardson. They were so worried someone else was going to snipe them that they moved up. And teams were, everything I heard on Thursday, with teams were very nervous. They were very nervous. They wanted to chase and go after their guy. And, you know, so we already had the sense there would be a lot of trade. And then as soon as the Browns did it, I looked over at our compatriot Aaron Nagler, and I was like, here we go. And, you know, after that, the whole first round was complete mess, and people have been trading all 3 days. And you know, you're talking about the rookie salary wage helps that, a lot of nervousness, some shallow sections of the draft class. It's definitely exciting. I know that a lot of the NFL personnel who take the players around and such are about ready to pass out, and I think most of us in the media are as well.
I understand. Well, let's talk B.J. Coleman. Andrew did our quarterback profiles for Pro Football Draft Preview. What do the Packers have in B.J. Coleman? Just tell us a little bit about him.
He's a little bit of a project. You know, he's overall got a very good skill set. He can make all the throws you pretty much need in the NFL. He's a developmental guy. I like his ceiling. His floor is a little bit lower than you like, but that's why he's where he was in the seventh round. He's tall. You know, he's got the frame. He's got the height. He can see things over the line of scrimmage. He's got a better than average arm. He does a really good job of spinning the football, getting the throws where they need to be with a lot of zip on it. But, you know, ultimately his biggest problem is his footwork. And his initial step when he's in the gun is with the left foot. He's a right-handed quarterback. Your first step shouldn't be that left foot. And he wastes a lot of motion. He'll stutter step around, trying to keep himself balanced when he's getting in and out of the pocket. He's a little slow getting away from under center. So he, you know, like I said, raw, a guy who's going to need to work. But really, again, there were a couple of quarterbacks that I thought would really benefit from the Mike McCarthy quarterback camp. And Coleman is one of them. Russell Wilson was another one, went to Seattle instead. But Coleman's got the raw skills. He's got the tools. He's got the physical tools. It's just the footwork and the balance. And as you know, Brian, with footwork, if that's off, everything else can fall apart. You know, he's got good accuracy, but when his feet are not where they're supposed to be, when he's stepping wrong, you know, his accuracy declines. So overall, as a guy, I think he has a lot of good raw skill. Could become, you know, a Matt Flynn type backup quarterback, someone you could trade later or could step in for Rodgers or Harrell if they get hurt. But it's going to take some time. And in some ways, that's perfect because I know the Packers have been grooming Harrell to be the number two. Nobody's going to replace Rodgers. So really, you have a guy you can take your time with and develop into being a solid quarterback. And really, you know, there's a school of thought in the NFL that, hey, you should always be developing the next quarterback, and that's what the Packers did. They've got a guy who's a raw prospect, but has a lot of upside, and I really think they do a lot with him.
B.J. Coleman transferred from Tennessee to Tennessee Chattanooga. What do you have any concerns about the level of competition he played?
A little bit. I mean, unfortunately, one of the reasons he transferred was the Lane Kiffin drama. over in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't a matter, like, you see some guys like Mitch Mustaine, who bailed out of USC when the competition got too stiff. And actually, I think he had bailed out of his previous school as well for the same reason. That's when you have a big warning flag come up for a quarterback. But with Coleman left because there was just chaos with Lane Kiffin coming and going, and what was he doing, and it was just too much. Now, yes, the overall level of play that Tennessee Chattanooga found is not going to really sell you to an NFL team or to a fan. You play who gets put in front of you. You know, it's like the argument we always have about the NFL schedule. Oh, you know, such and such has a weak schedule. Well, you know, that's who the NFL gave them, so that's who they play, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to penalize for them. However, you know, some of the problems he has, some of the inaccuracies and stuff, is just going to get sort of exponentially magnified here at the NFL pro level, and that's why he's a very raw prospect, and that's why you really need to get that footwork going, because I don't think it was a matter of not being able to read defenses or getting fooled by the corners, getting fooled by a safety, getting, you know, it didn't have Blaine Gabbert happy feet in the pocket. It's a matter of just needing to get that footwork and technique going. And, you know, sure, the level of competition isn't exactly stellar, but he did well with what he had, and now it's a matter of grooming him to take it to the next level. And really, you know, this deep in the seventh round with a compensatory pick, this is almost a this is like a mulligan. Like, you can screw this up, and it's not that big a deal. It won't cost them much. So I really think this was a great use of the pick. You get a project guy who's not going to risk you all that much, but could give you some really nice upside.
One more question before we let you go, before we let you get back to work here, Andrew. Matt Flynn left in the offseason for the Seattle Seahawks. Now the Packers are left with Graham Harrell and now B.J. Coleman. Does B.J. Coleman have a chance to become the backup, the number two to Aaron Rodgers this season?
It's hard to say, because I felt like Harrell was hurt by the fact that there was no off-season program last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that set him back a little bit. But I think he's a little bit more polished, and he's certainly much more familiar with the Packer way and the Packer program and the Packer offense. So I think unless Coleman really, you know, is one of those guys who just dives in and swims, you know, it's like the parent who throws his kid into the lake to teach him how to swim, turns out he's Aquaman. You know, unless it's that kind of situation, probably not. I mean, unless the only way I'd really want to put Coleman in is if it was a worst case scenario, or to get him a little seasoning. You know, if the Packers were up by like 15 touchdowns and Harrell had a little shot, give Coleman a little opportunity. But I think his footwork's raw enough where, unless he surprises the heck out of everybody, he's going to be stuck at the number three. And that's not a bad place to be. You're on the Green Bay Packers, the number three quarterback position. But look at Harrell. Harrell stayed behind Flynn and Rodgers for a while, and now he's the number two quarterback. And who knows, in a couple of years we could talk about Coleman moving up for Harrell, who's now left and moved on to Seattle because they can't stop themselves when they can overpay for a Green Bay quarterback.
Andrew, thank you very much for joining us. We'll let you wrap things up there at Radio City Music Hall, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
All right, I'm going to go into hibernation for the next 12 months until this thing kicks off again. So yeah. I'll see you next April.
Sounds good. See you, Andrew. Thank you very much. Andrew Garda of Bleacher Report joining us, the NFC North featured blogger at Bleacher Report. So we're wrapping things up here at Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'll wrap things up myself a little bit here. And by all means, if you want to wrap things up with me, the phone number, the phone lines are open. So 347-352-0154. Once again, I'll be breaking out the Pro Football Weekly NFL Draft Preview Guide. Seeing as I know I'm kind of working in reverse order here, but seeing as we were just talking about B.J. Coleman, I'll start with him and then get to Andrew Datko. But Datko? Must be Datko, I'm guessing. Anyhow, the positives for B.J. Coleman: fiery playing temperament, lives and breathes football, is intelligent, prepares like a pro, and has vocal on-field leadership traits. Dissects defenses before the snap and knows where to go with the ball. Physically tough and can withstand punishment. Good arm strength,
to make velocity throws with timing and accuracy and has touch to drop it in the bucket.
The negatives: too tight shouldered, average foot athlete in escapability, does not always feel pressure, forces some throws and needs to learn to add or subtract from his fastball. Not anticipatory, does not throw receivers open. Tends to pat and push the ball, and batted throws could be an issue. Struggled against top competition, seen Auburn in 2010 and Nebraska. He has a 57.4 career completion percentage, sprays the ball, has a 483 career winning percentage. Overly intense and known to wear out teammates with demands. Summary here finally, an extremely confident, hardworking competitor who professes aspirations to become the next Peyton Manning. Coleman's talents were hampered by a poor supporting cast that left the pocket vulnerable. Must improve accuracy to function in a timing offense, has ideal backup traits and tools to develop that are most ideal for a vertical attack. So very interesting here about B.J. Coleman, as every pick is interesting, as I probably would say. But, the one thing I perhaps find most intriguing is once again, another high-quality, high-character pick here. And one who doesn't appear to have a lot of injury issues. Well, he did actually. He had an injured shoulder this past year, so I scratched that. But still, the character, is there. But almost to the extreme, if you were listening to the negatives here, overly intense and known to wear out teammates with demands. Like, almost too much of a leader, going over the top. So will be interesting to see how he fits into the Green Bay Packers locker room. And I suppose it's going to be real easy for him perhaps to back off when you are the third or maybe even the fourth quarterback on the roster, at least to begin with. Not to say that he can't jump up, but he's going to be starting low on the totem pole, perhaps even behind a newly signed Arena League quarterback, Nick Hill. But it'll be definitely, once again, an interesting battle for the third quarterback job, maybe even the backup quarterback job if he can really impress. Graham Harrell's going to be given every chance to win the backup, the top backup, the number two slot. So I wouldn't be surprised about that at all, to see him hang on to it. But, they're certainly going to give B.J. Coleman a chance, and it's going to be a lot of learning during the offseason here through rookie minicamp, through regular mini camp, through OTAs, a lot of learning. But after that, it will be all of a sudden, the competition will be on starting training camp, starting late July. You will think he'll be given every opportunity to move up the depth chart. I'm sure once again, even once training camp starts, Graham Harrell will, get the start off as the two job. But as time goes along, Coleman will be getting an opportunity. He'll see playing time in the preseason. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to hold off Nick Hill as well. So, they're all going to be given equal opportunities to win the job, and hopefully the Mike McCarthy's offseason quarterback school will do wonders for all of them. From Harrell, who didn't get that opportunity last offseason because of the NFL lockout, as we were just talking about with Andrew Garda. But same for Nick Hill and same for B.J. Coleman. Hopefully they're all learning and progressing very well, starting in just a couple weeks' time. So that's something to look forward to as far as the quarterback position goes on the Packers. And Coleman starts to move to Green Bay and ingratiates himself, hopefully, into the Green Bay Packers organization, if you will. And okay, let's talk about Andrew Datko a little bit, the Florida State tackle, the first seventh round draft choice of the Packers with their compensatory pick. Here we go. Andrew Datko, his positives: quick out of his stance, has good feet to shuffle, slide and pass and push rushers wide. Technically sound, keeps his hands inside and can pop and recoil. Understands angles and positioning, flexible hips to scoop, latch on, and seal. Shows outstanding scheme recognition, is intelligent and aware to pick up stunts and blitzes. Is tough and plays through pain. Started as an undersized freshman, terrific character, motivated, hardworking, and coachable. And as far as the negatives go, lacks ideal bulk and functional strength, is narrow-framed, converted tight end, and still looks it. Average arm length, small arms. Limited power in his body, gets out-muscled at the point of attack, is not stout in his lower body to anchor versus the bull rush, too easily walked back. Plays with a crouched posture and bends at the waist. Lunges and slips off some blocks, inconsistent second-level fits, durability is a major concern, has a history of shoulder issues dating back to high school, including a surgery that ended his senior season prematurely, has not cleared medical evaluations for some NFL teams. Finally, the summary here: smart, tough, competitive, and battle-tested. Datko is an underpowered, hunchbacked zone blocker, and Florida State offensive line coach Rick Trickett disciple, with functional starting ability on the right side when healthy. However, his inability to hold up physically will push him down draft boards and could potentially leave him undrafted. They had predicted he was actually a 5th to 6th round pick, so perhaps Packers getting a little bit of value here. The injury issue is a concern, but as I was saying here, at this point in the draft, or at least I was tweeting this, early in the draft, you can be a little bit choosy. I think you can find guys who don't have an injury issue or don't have some sort of character concern. But as you get into the later rounds, it's hard to find the perfect guy who doesn't have some flaws. So that's what the Packers are, have with. Andrew Datko. He has the injury concerns, but very good, high-quality character, though. And that's what it looks like they almost all have this year. Almost every draft choice has good character, at least no outstanding red flags. So I guess the closest to it might be Drell Worthy, who is perhaps immature, reportedly, failed one drug test during his time at Michigan State, but it does not appear to be too much of a problem, at least according to Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So you kind of hope that's the case. Andrew Datko, where does he fit into the Packers' offensive line? Well, Chad Clifton was just released, so that's offering up a little bit of space there, needing a little bit of depth. And of course, not only is Chad Clifton gone, but last year's first round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, coming off of a broken leg, a fairly serious injury, certainly one you can come back from, but we really don't know his progress until we, probably put the pads on. I have to imagine Derek Sherrod's going to be brought back pretty slowly this offseason, and probably even a little bit slowly once training camp begins. Who knows? Could end up, starting the year on the, what do you call that? The list, the PUP list, physically unable to perform. I don't know. But he is coming off the injury. We do know that. So, without him, Marshall Newhouse and Brian Bulaga will probably most likely be given the first cracks to be the starting tackles. What side they start on, I'm not sure. I'm of the opinion that Brian Bulaga should switch to the left side, but I can see the argument for those that say he should stay on the right, Newhouse should stay on the left. Whatever, they're getting the first cracks, and it's going to be a battle
for the backup jobs, you know, with, you know, Datko now and Sherrod. And so there's an opportunity for Datko to win a job, perhaps on the 53-man roster. Might depend on Sherrod's health. You know, there's a couple other guys. You know, Herb Taylor, who they signed last year, is kind of an insurance policy, is coming back. Will fight for a job in camp. It would be hard to see him winning a job unless there's injuries, but you never know. And who else am I missing on the offensive line here without looking at the Packers roster? I have a feeling I'm missing one more tackle that I can't really pinpoint. I mean, I know that Chad Clifton is gone now, but who else was? Is Chris Campbell still with the team? Chris Campbell, he was on the practice squad at some point, I believe. He's kind of gone on and off the team, if I remember correctly. Been cut a couple times and has come back, but so that's where the Packers are at the offensive line. And I suppose we can take maybe one last look at what the Packers do from here on out, now that the draft is ended. And here we go. Wisconsin Rob says on the live blog, Chris Campbell is with the team and Ray Dominguez. Ray Dominguez, you know, could perhaps play tackle if really needed to be. From what I've heard, probably more of a guard, but he's played tackle before, so... So those are that's where we are at the position. But going forward here, undrafted free agency probably has already begun. I imagine the Packers are on the phone right now trying to sign guys. So where do they start? You imagine they're starting with center. That is one of the highest priorities. And they're going to have the pick of the litter, whoever is undrafted, because you know every single center out there who didn't get drafted, they know there's going to be a chance to win a job with the Green Bay Packers just because of the age of Jeff Saturday. So who you know, folks, feel free to throw it on the live blog. I was not, and you know, would I see Jamie's taking off, and thank you so much, Jamie, for all your help. You might have tweet with the hashtags Cheesehead TV in order to comment on the live blog from here on out, perhaps. You know, who's the best players left for centers after the draft here? You know, I once the Packers picked, I didn't see the final remaining picks. I know Michael Brewster was available, Scott Wettage from Northern Illinois, Garth Gerhardt from Arizona State. Whoever the Packers like out of that group, you know, that's who the Packers will probably get, because they just know, these college guys know there's a chance. Here we go. I see the Packer report from Scott Wettage here, the retweet, Decision Time, trying to decide where he's going to go. And one of these could certainly be the Packers, because they just know, like I said, there's going to be an opportunity to win a job on the Packers, whether it's the practice squad, maybe even the 53-man roster, because if they can show enough, even an undrafted guy here could be a starter on the Packers offensive line in a year's time, perhaps. I really think people have disagreed with me. The Packers got to add a fullback at some point here in the undrafted portion of the draft here. I understood that the Packers didn't draft one, but they'll sign one here just because of the injury situation to John Kuhn. Man, I hope it's Emil Iguanagu from Massachusetts, UMass. I really thought he was a good guy. Can be an H-back type. I'd like to see him do that. So those are two positions the Packers should get a pretty good player at, or you know, one they like at least, fullback and center. And, you know, who else? What other positions do we have? The Packers will add at least another offensive lineman or two or three, no doubt about it. You know, the Packers going to sign 15-some players here. And there will be almost a representative from every position. They will add an undrafted free agent running back. You know, Wisconsin Rob right here, Chris Polk mentioning him. Apparently, there is a rather serious injury issue, or not even injury, a health issue with Chris Polk. A degenerative condition is what I read. don't know much about it. Doesn't seem anybody knows too much about it. I'm sure the team doctors do. I'm sure he was examined very closely during the pre-draft process. So, you know, even if he does have a degenerative condition, maybe somebody will give him a shot. Maybe that'll be the Packers. We'll see. They'll sign a running back of some sort to compete for a job. Tight end and receiver, the Packers will sign a couple receivers. That is the most highly sought after position on the team in training camp. Maybe not, but they always need a lot. You need a lot of people to catch passes. The Packers now have four quarterbacks on their roster. They're going to, even though the Packers are deep at receiver, they're going to need guys just to catch passes in training camp. So they will sign two, three, four wide receivers. Four might be a lot, but don't be surprised at all if the Packers sign three wide receivers as undrafted types. They're probably good at quarterback. I can't see the now that they would add another quarterback. Defensive lineman, they added two. I wouldn't doubt at all if they add a nose tackle type. They try to add a guy who's maybe 330-plus pounds. Don't doubt that at all. Look for that. A guy named Damon Harrison is one target there, so be prepared for that. Let's see, what else? Outside linebacker, probably we'll add one more there. I wouldn't doubt that as well. You know, just a situation that was a trouble spot last year, and you hope Nick Perry takes over, but probably take one there. Probably add another inside linebacker, perhaps one of them. I know they drafted Terrell Manning, but, you know, again, they got 15-plus roster spots to fill. Could be one more safety, probably a safety, no doubt. No doubt about it, I think. They'll probably add another safety and maybe a corner. They are pretty decent at corner, but again, you never know. Almost one from every position on the team. Specialists, they're set. Kicker, punter, long snapper. Might they bring in one guy to maybe, at least if nothing else, give the Tim Mastay and Mason Crosby a rest once in a while? Maybe. That's where we're at with the Packers. So if you haven't seen it before, go to nepatriotsdraft.com, Patriots website, that they kind of follow that team a little bit, but they do a great job kind of summing up all the undrafted free agent signings. So make sure to check that out tonight. They'll start to be reported tonight, undrafted free agent signings. So follow along there. Hey, folks, it's been fun. It's been a ton of fun. I love doing this, absolutely. So, you know, it's here we go. Another draft season ended. It was a great time. I mean, we've ramped up the draft coverage ever since the combine, since before the combine, pretty much since the Packers season ended, and all of a sudden it was Senior Bowl time and Shrine Bowl time and everything. So it's been a fun couple months. Thanks a lot, everyone. We will continue the draft coverage here, the post draft coverage at Cheesehead TV. See you later, everyone. I'd say see you next year, but I'll be here with you the whole time, starting with our post draft coverage right now. So thanks a lot, everyone. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, there's too many to name, but I love you all for hanging out on the live blog and whatever. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. Leave you with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.